There's more lies told to the American public about cancer than any other disease. Not too surprising, because there's more money involved with cancer than any other disease. Nixon declared war on cancer back 30 years ago, and for 26 years, the U.S. government paid out $30 billion on the war on cancer. $30 billion. And you know, the expenditures went way up, but the death rate continued to go up. We haven't gained 10 seconds in longevity, even though we spent $30 billion. Now, we spent, I don't know how many millions, $200 million to go to the moon and back. I mean, that's much harder than finding a cure for cancer, to take a man alive, land him on the moon, pick him up, and bring him back to the earth alive. I mean, what a thing for a couple $100 million. And here they spent $30 billion and we didn't gain 10 seconds in longevity from it. That's because they really didn't look for a cure for cancer, even though that's what they were given the money to do. They were given the money to look for a cure for cancer, but they didn't find a cure for cancer because they really didn't look that hard. What they did do with that $30 billion was map out the human genome. And two companies got the patents on it. There's no thing in the contract with the U.S. government that says that these two companies have to pay royalties to the Social Security system or to Medicare or back into the tax fund. We just gave them $30 billion to patent things for their own use. Now, I hope that makes you feel good. Didn't make me feel good, made me angry. The Karolinska Institute from Stockholm, the institute that gives out the Nobel Prizes, said, "Your genetic code isn't enough to cure cancer." They gathered all their experts on cancer, and they gathered all their experts on genetics, and they said, "Okay, we have the human genome mapped out. Let's get to work. We want to cure cancer." Less than 10% of cancers have anything to do with genetics. 90% of cancers have nothing to do with genetics. And so the human genome will not be a cure for cancer. We've wasted $30 billion in 26 years. I'm going to prove to you in the next few minutes that everything that your doctor, the American Cancer Society, and your government has told you on how to reduce your risk of cancer has been an absolute bald-faced lie. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that a low-fat diet can reduce your risk of cancer. If you don't raise your hand, you're a liar, a Taliban, because I know you've heard that. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that a high-fiber diet reduces your risk of cancer. You bet. What about 4 to 6 servings of fruits and vegetables a day? Raise your hand. Absolutely, 100%. Well, let's look at that. Harvard Medical School, Harvard Nurses Health Study, they looked at 90,000 nurses over 20 years, and they compared the rate of cancer in these 90,000 nurses, comparing those that had 50% of their calories as fat, which is a very high-fat diet, versus those that had less than 20% of their calories as fat, which is a very low-fat diet. And what they found out was, and this was 2.5 years ago, March of 1999, this was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the most prestigious medical journal in America, maybe the world, and they said there's no link, there's no measurable difference between the amount of fat you eat and cancer. It didn't matter if you had 50% of your calories as fat or 20% of your calories as fat. What they're saying here, folks, is you can take a big breakfast cereal bowl full of chicken fat, chicken skin, pork fat, lard, butter, and eat that every morning for breakfast, and it's not going to increase your risk of cancer. It is not the amount of fat in your diet that increases your risk of cancer. But they did find out, if you consume each day one piece of burnt animal fat the size of a pea, you're going to actually increase your risk of breast, prostate, and colon cancer by as much as 462%. It's not the amount of fat in your diet, it's how you cook the fat. You do not want to cook your meat very well done. You do not want to eat burnt animal fat because it turns into what's called heterocyclic amines, which are free radicals, and it can actually increase your risk of breast, prostate, and colon cancer by as much as 462%. You're much better off eating your meat cooked medium rare or raw. Do not cook it very well done. People say, well, what about E. coli? Nobody ever gets E. coli from rare prime rib. Nobody ever gets E. coli from roast or steaks or chops or ribs. In fact, most hamburger places, fast food places, Arby's and McDonald's and Burger King, they haven't had any problems. Denny's, they haven't had any problems. Just one fast food chain's had a problem. Jack in the Box. Real simple, just don't go there. You see, because what's happening is doctors want to push everybody to cook their meat very well done, burn the fat, and increase your risk of breast, prostate, and colon cancer by 462%. Remember, we didn't have Alzheimer's disease until doctors got Americans paranoid about cholesterol. Don't let them push you into cooking your meat very well done, and increase your risk of cancer by 462%. Now we're going to look at this high fiber diet. Again, the Harvard Nurses Health Study, 90,000 nurses, 20 years. And they compared the colorectal cancer rate in these 90,000 nurses over 20 years, comparing those that ate a high fiber diet versus those that ate a low fiber diet. And they didn't like the results, so they threw in 50,000 male doctors and they looked at their colorectal cancer rate and compared those that had a high fiber diet versus a low fiber diet. Now they had 140,000 human subjects in this 20-year study, and they were very excited about this. Now Harvard Medical School is so confident, they're so confident that they will guarantee you on their mother's eyes, if you eat a high fiber diet every day for 20 years, you're going to fart a lot. This came out in January of 1999. This was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, very respectable medical journal. 90,000 female nurses, 50,000 male doctors. And what they said was, high fiber diets don't cut colon cancer any measurable amount. None, zero, zippo, nada. But they found out two negatives from eating a high fiber diet all the time. Number one, plant fibers contains a substance called phytates. How many of you heard of phytates? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a whole section in the book, Rare Earths, Forbidden Cures, on phytates. Phytates is a substance in plant fiber that will bind on to nutritional minerals, either supplements or natural minerals in your food, and form a phytate mineral complex that you can't absorb very efficiently. And so you're going to wind up with mineral deficiency diseases. If you're eating nothing but raw carrots and raw broccoli and raw vegetables of all kinds and raw pea pods, and you're eating bran muffins and seven-grain breads and putting psyllium husk in your orange juice every morning, you're going to get these mineral deficiency diseases such as high blood pressure, arthritis, osteoporosis, diabetes, lupus, low back problems, disc problems, plantar fasciitis, bone spurs, heel spurs, calcium deposits, kidney stones, periodontal disease, loose teeth, receding gums. I could go on and on and on, but you get the picture. If it's not the high fiber diet, if it's not the low fiber diet, certainly it's got to be the 4 to 6 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, right? This came out in November of 2000. A diet rich in fruits and vegetables helps protect against heart disease and diabetes, but has no effect on colon and rectal cancer. None. Zero. Zippo. Nada. This was published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. It's a Harvard Nurses Health Study, and those 50,000 male doctors put together, 136,000 of them they used in this study, and 4 to 6 servings of fruits and vegetables a day did not reduce your risk of cancer any measurable amount. Now, I don't know about you, but when I realized those three articles kind of fit together, I was ticked off. I was very angry. Because everything that doctors have told you and me on how to reduce your risk of cancer for the last 50 years has been an absolute bald-faced lie. In any other industry, they'd be shut down and the perpetrators put in jail for fraud forever. Because we're talking about $1.5 trillion for health care. I mean, that's fraud, folks, when everything they tell you is wrong. Well, don't despair. There are things you can do. Don't cook in margarine. Don't fry your foods. Don't cook your meat very well done. Just doing those three things together can reduce your risk of breast, prostate, and colon cancer by as much as 462%. Somebody went to Japan and they said, well, hey, how come you guys have half the cancer rate we do? I mean, we have the most food, the best food. We have the highest priced healthcare system in the world and most technology, and yet you have half the cancer rate we do. And the Japanese said, well, we drink 4 cups of green tea a day. And Western doctors started laughing so hard, tears are running out of their eyes, and say, there's no way, there's absolutely no way that an herb like green tea can cut the risk of cancer in any measurable amount, let alone half that in the United States. And so the Case Western Reserve University Medical School in Cleveland, Ohio, said, we'll be the ones to do that study. It took 2 groups of laboratory mice, and they gave them a terrible chemical that causes cancer. And one of those 2 groups of mice getting this terrible chemical, they gave in a mouse dose 4 cups of green tea. At the end of the study, the mice getting the green tea did have a reduction in the risk of cancer. Not 10%, not 25%, not 50%, not 75%, but 90%. Those given green tea developed 90% fewer cancers. Just that simple. Now, when that came out in September of 1998, I decided I was going to drink 4 cups of green tea a day. 2 for breakfast, 2 for dinner. And I'm an anti-sugar person myself, and so I drank my green tea unsweetened. And even though I knew it was good for me, after 2 weeks I quit, because it'll shrink wrap your lips over your teeth. Unsweetened green tea will shrink wrap your lips over your teeth. It is bad stuff. And if you haven't started drinking green tea when you were a little kid, you aren't going to start when you're over 60 and keep going, right? Well, the substance is given the credit for the anti-cancer effect of green tea are substances called catechins. Catechins, or EGCGs, are 100 times more potent than vitamin C in neutralizing free radicals. They're 100 times, not 2 times, not 50 times, but 100 times more potent than vitamin C in neutralizing free radicals. And then there was a wonderful study that was done in England, which showed that a trace mineral called gallium actually reduced the rate of brain cancers in young children. They gave a supplement of gallium, this trace mineral, to women, pregnant women in England, and they had a low rate of brain cancer in their children. And the control group, the ones who got no gallium as a supplement, they just got a sugar pill, it was a placebo, they had a significantly higher rate of brain cancer in their children. It's called gallium. And then arsenic, the trace mineral arsenic. There's a type of leukemia called acute promyelocytic leukemia. And this type of leukemia is very aggressive. And they've not been able to find any chemotherapy or radiation that would put it in remission for any length of time. It was a death warrant. When you got diagnosed with that one, you didn't have much time left. But they said, we have nothing to lose here. Let's just try something as absurd as arsenic. So they gave parts per billion of arsenic to 12 of these patients with acute promyelocytic leukemia. And within 30 days, 8 of them went into remission. A year later, they were disease-free. There's some of these researchers that believe that acute promyelocytic leukemia might be due to a arsenic deficiency. And here's where they're coming from. If you take 100 people with scurvy and you give them the very best chemotherapy and radiation, how many will live? Well, none. If the treatment doesn't kill them, the scurvy will kill them. But if you take the same 100 people with scurvy and you give them nothing but 60 milligrams of vitamin C, in 30 days they will all be cured. They'll be miraculously cured. Because scurvy is a simple vitamin C deficiency. And that's the way that researchers look at this acute promyelocytic leukemia. They get such a dramatic response when they give them arsenic. Many of them feel that it's probably due to a deficiency of arsenic. How many of you have heard of selenium? Raise your hand. That's pretty good. I think most people today have heard of selenium. This was an article in Popular Mechanics magazine back in April of 1912. A guy who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine, Dr. Wasserman, he invented the Wasserman test, which is a blood test to check and see if he had active syphilis infection. And he said, in April of 1912, the trace mineral selenium has a selective action against cancer cells, but not in healthy tissues. And that the selenium had shown the ability to prevent and cure certain types of cancer in mice, and he believed it would work in people too. In 1912, we began to use selenium as a supplement in animals. This laid dormant in human medicine for 84 years. Didn't show up again in human literature for 84 years. In December 25, 1996, the medical school at the University of Arizona published a 10-year double-blind study on selenium and the prevention of cancer, at least the rate reduction of cancer. And what they found was that just giving small amounts of the trace mineral selenium, 250 micrograms, one quarter of 1 milligram of selenium, that they could reduce the risk of esophageal cancer by 71%, greater than two-thirds. They reduced the risk of prostate cancer, fellas, by 69%, greater than two-thirds. Can you do that with a high-fiber diet, low-fat diet, and 4 to 6 servings of fruits and vegetables a day? Absolutely not. They were able to reduce the risk of colorectal cancer by 64%, almost two-thirds. They reduced the risk of lung cancer, the greatest killer of Americans, the greatest cancer killer. I mean, it kills more people than any other cancer, both men and women. Lung cancer is 250 micrograms, one quarter of 1 milligram of the trace mineral selenium every day. Reduced the risk of lung cancer in the study by 48%, cut the risk in half. And in a parallel study, ladies, from the University of California, San Diego, they showed that a 10-year supplement of selenium could reduce the risk of breast cancer, depending on the type of breast cancer, by as much as 65 to 95%. Now, how many of you ladies and how many of you gentlemen have received a postcard or a letter from your medical doctor telling you these things? Isn't that amazing? Nobody ever raises their hand, even though it's published in their journals. You see, they cannot say, well, we didn't know that, because all that information was published in some obscure Taliban medical journal in the Himalayan mountains. They can't say that because they purposely pointed out to you that these articles were published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. All the research was done by very reputable medical schools and universities and research institutions. And if they're not reading that information, you should not go back to those doctors because they can't take care of you very well. If they are reading the information and not passing it on to you, and many of them will brag, you know, they throw their journals around the office to let you know how clever they are. Oh, we read this stuff. And if they're not passing on the information to you, then they're guilty of the greatest fraud. They should be put in jail for 25 years to life.
Information and statements regarding dietary supplements discussed have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.